Hello and welcome along to the Arts Hour on the BBC World Service with me, Nikki Badi, a 60-minute selection of the best BBC arts on offer. On today's show, season 3 of US TV drama House of Cards is online, and I've already binge-watched every single one of the 13 episodes. Showrunner Beau Willimon gives us his insights into the relationship between the power couple at the centre of the show, Frank Underwood, POTUS, and his wife, FLOTUS, played by Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright.
They're transactional, like politics is. I mean, you are offering your love and someone is offering theirs in return. You are trading vulnerability to get strength in return.
And we have a bit of an opera theme to the show today. We hear from superstar tenor Jonas Kaufman in a minute. Hold on. And soprano Eileen Perez tells us about her debut at the Met in New York, singing Micaela in Bizet's Carmen. And African-American tenor Noah Stewart tells us how it was the lack of money at his single-parent Harlem home that opened the door to opera.
My mom, who's a single parent, said, Noah, I can't afford a babysitter, so whatever activities there are at school, just raise your hand and say you'll just do it if they're free.
We have cha-cha music from Cameroon and fireworks. I've got to tell you about this new play I just saw set in Palestine. Two families caught up in a siege and two children fast becoming too old to pretend it's all okay. We'll do that later. First, though, I've got a case of Jonas mania. When they said that Jonas Kaufman, the star tenor, was to sing only two performances this season at the Metropolitan Opera in New York and in the super popular Bizet's Carmen, the two shows sold out immediately. Jonas mania was so strong that online ticket brokers were offering seats for $999.75 each. That's $1,000. So I bought four on BBC license fee payers' money. Killing. Well, the great German opera singer was in London recently performing some of Schumann's Kernerlieder, that's Kerner's song cycle, along with a bit of Wagner and Liszt, but he made sure to stoke the Anglo-Jonas mania fires with the BBC's fabulous Kirsty Young, who was very keen to know how his career all started. Well, when his grandfather was paying for him to have singing lessons as a child, he was also learning to play the piano. And then there came a point when young Jonas decided he definitely preferred music to boring maths. Who wouldn't? Me, I had piano and maths lessons, and I really didn't like either of them. My father wanted me to be a doctor. I just wanted to be an actress. Nearly there. Anyway, did Jonas Kaufman's father support him?
He was worried. He was just worried that this so-called brotlose Kunst, the breadless art, meaning no money involved, would lead me to maybe not poverty, but sadness, because he always told me, you are a family person. I know you want to start a family yourself. And it's true. I wanted to live the life that my parents had lived. And therefore, of course, you need a solid job. But I realized that being surrounded only by numbers and theories would be too dry and nothing for me, and no contact with people and or anything. I didn't like it. I wanted to perform. I think that was it.
And so, right, that's interesting. Did you like that element? Because not every performer
absolutely
does. Yeah. Right. Still the same? You like
it? Well, it was, you see, when I was a kid, my parents had lots of parties at their house, and I was always there joking with everybody and telling jokes, actually, and little pantomimes and stuff like that. So I loved the idea that you can entertain people.
So are you a show-off by nature?
Probably, yeah.
Mm. 1989 comes and you begin then to study music professionally in Munich. And up until then, you know, you'd been in lots of choirs growing up. You loved this sensation, I've read, of being in the music, of being surrounded by it. But at that time when you come to start studying it, does it all become a lot less joyous at that point?
Well, you see, it's quite ridiculous how you start when you only officially study at the conservatory or something, because you get two lessons of singing per week, then you get two coachings per week. You have to have piano lessons, you have music theory, music history, but this is easy stuff. But then, of course, I mean, I realized ultimately that singing three times a week for an hour is not what you're getting paid for. Mm. So when I then first signed my Fest contract, you know, in Germany, they have this system of a stable ensemble. You're a member of the opera house, and that means you sing whatever comes along. Let's say a stage rehearsal in the morning for one production, in the afternoon a coaching, and in the evening a performance. And the fact that I had to sing every day for 6, 7, 8 hours, maybe not the most heaviest stuff, not the most difficult stuff, but I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And it ended up in a huge crisis. I was about to quit.
Was it a vocal crisis that you
Absolutely.
Hit?
Absolutely. Yes, totally.
So how did you dig yourself out?
Well, I found a new teacher, thank God. I mean, one of my colleagues there said to me, listen, I mean, it's not your health that is in problem, it's actually your voice. And I'm sure you need a new teacher. And he was right. And he was really my lifesaver. Because without him, I wouldn't have met Michael Rhodes, an American baritone from Brooklyn, who lived in a small town in Germany. And I went to him, and it was magical because he changed radically everything. I changed the way of singing, and through that, I suddenly got a round instrument, a dark instrument, a very reliable instrument, one that I could trust and I could sing on and on and on. It wouldn't get tired. So it was dream come true.
With this extraordinary international schedule that you have, singing all over the world, you have three kids. Time to properly spend with them must be very precious. And how do you manage to schedule that in?
Well, that is extremely difficult, obviously. And it's a very time-consuming job, it's true. And you can't do it from home, unfortunately. But, of course, we have the new medias. I mean, they all got their phones now. And we text and we Skype and all these things. But I'm reading, still reading them books. I have on my little iPad here, I got all kinds of books. And so I'm reading to them over the internet because that's something that connects us.
Let's go to the music then, Jonas Kaufmann. Tell me about your next choice.
Well, this is, I'm a little bit ashamed to choose on Desert Island, actually one of my songs. But I mean, since
we're
still in this frame, the song is called In Traum hast du mir alles erlaubt, composed by Robert Stolz. Robert Stolz was an Austrian composer, and he emigrated to the U.S.